My mama would say, you gotta fight for what is right. To her I would say, I wanna give back the world some light. But it's an empty road, I feel so alone, I forgot what I'm fighting for. When the weight of the world keeps you up at night, when you're running with no end in sight, thought you would never. You could find with Christ. You wanna change the world, but you don't know where you should start. But you can't give your all unless you let God inside your heart. You could find with Christ if you're one with Christ.
Hey, good morning, Patriots. Everybody hear me 5-5 this morning? Looks like it's okay. Just watching my monitors here. Okay, so I am in Pendleton, Oregon, which is cool town. It's where the Pendleton Roundup is in Oregon. It's the biggest rodeo in the state, one of the bigger in the nation. It's also pro circuit rodeo. It's also the town where Terry Anderson has his cattle, where my cattle come from. And ironically, just the way things work, this B&B is literally on the same road as Terry Anderson's ranch. So how's that? So that's the way God works. So puppy report. We have to have that in the morning since we're still on the road. They are eagerly defending from the garbage man and from the garbage pickup, which is obviously a terminal threat to the property. And they have scoured, and I think there was a cat last night that quickly ran away. They chased that away. And they've been marking guard all morning. They still are. You're probably going to hear them. I have the door open so they can see me. They are. It's really interesting. I continue to laugh at these two. They're really, as puppies, in their mode as a breed to protect and to monitor the perimeter of the property. And the minute I come out, then it's like, oh, Dad's here. Let's go join him. So then I get mauled in the typical puppy fashion, which is awesome. So anyway, they're wonderful. They're doing great. They slept well. They've been traveling amazingly well. We're going to stay here one more night tonight. I've got a bunch of things going on today, which will be good for them. And Anyway, so yesterday started, or last night, I guess, started Passover, and we'll dedicate the show tonight to Passover. And for those of you that are, I guess Nikki had a really cool meal last night. I'm going to highlight that. She had lamb roasted over an open fire. So she's gone like high-end New York grill, and that's wonderful. So that's, someone says gypsy puppies. Yeah, they're, they can be. Their toys are strewn in the backyard. They've got toys in their crate. They're doing their thing. But anyway, happy Passover. We'll talk about Passover tonight. And anyway, we got some good stuff. So anyway, keeping in mind with the insanity and the world that we live in, we know this, and obviously one of the things that we have to be cognizant of is the overall wellness and preparedness which each one of us has. My Patriot Supply is the number one supplier of emergency food in the nation, and worth making sure you're well stocked up. It is an unknown factor of what's coming down the road. We really don't know, but it would be wise to constantly be prepared, and is wise for the unknown, whether it's a fire, whether it's a natural disaster, whether it's riots, food shortages. Things are mounting to where we can be pretty assured that there's going to be a significant break and disruption. Obviously, we pray against some of the divisiveness and wretchedness of like civil war or revolution. But the problem is that the entrenched elite aren't going to give up willfully, and it's going to take the will of we the people in the true sense of the Declaration of Independence to take them out. And so to do that, we need to be prepared ourselves. Preparations in the philosophy that I have are not just for yourself, but for your being strong in your community and being a community leader. So My Patriot Supply has the 4-week emergency food kit on sale right now. They come in buckets with a handle, so it's a grab and go type situation. It's fantastic. $50 off on these. You can find those at preparewithbards.com. Preparewithbards.com. Really fantastic offering right now. They come in 4-layer bags. They're sealed, 25-year shelf life. It's one of those preparations that you do that's just like forgiven, or just put it aside and forget about it until you need it. And then, like I always say, if we get to 25 years and everything has worked out great, then we just need to have like a Bard's Patriot Supply festival party of eating all of our supplies that we didn't ever eat for 25 years. And it'd be like kind of like a time capsule. And then we can have Jim Conley figure out a creative way to put it all together, and we'll have a Bard's My Patriot Supply Emergency Food Festival. I can just imagine this, like 1,000 people in Bard's Nation bringing in their My Patriot Supply buckets. It's like, we made it. Now let's go. Anyway, check it out. Preparewithbards.com. Preparewithbards.com. All those links are always below the podcast. So anyway, really beautiful day here. And this happens to be one of my favorite parts of the world, honestly, over in Eastern Oregon. Coming in, if you have never driven I think it's 80 or 84. I think it's 84 from Boise up to Baker City, La Grande, and then up to Pendleton. I would really encourage you to find time in your life at some point to make that drive. It's a beautiful highway, really well built. It's not like going from Ontario over to Bend. It's pretty much old 2-lane roads. It's a nice drive in itself, but the real beauty of this region shows in that highway coming in here. And it is an easy straight shot, pretty much. Beautiful mountain ranges. You come into Pendleton and you come up high on a mountain, and then it comes into the valley. And last night as I came in, the sun was setting. It's a beautiful Eastern Oregon sunset. The sun is literally just pure round hanging in the sky as the whole sky is lit with orange. And Pendleton is right in your eyes, so make sure and wear sunglasses, right? But anyway, it's a really, really beautiful part of the country. Love this place up here. Just expansive distances. Different than Wyoming or Montana because there's so much green over here. So anyway, that is where I am. And it's a great place and a beautiful morning to be here. Okay, so let's dig in with some news and some craziness, which we have plenty of these days. Let's start with something here. And let's start with our number one thing, which is Argentina's new president, Javier Milei, says his country had its first quarterly budget surplus since 2008. He is a conservative. He's not a liberal. Obviously, liberal policies are destroying the world, and as I will say over and over, people that are following the liberal philosophy, I think would be easier to say they're decadent, they're out of touch, they have no idea what it is to produce something of their own, and they all believe that the government needs to be their nanny. They are a problem in the world. They are a parasitic way of thinking. They have a slave mentality, and they need to literally, they need to be reeducated. I mean, and then part of that process is to get them into where they have to start facing shortages themselves. So this is good news for them. By the way, I just sent over a post to Nikki. She'll put it up on social media. I was doing the research this morning, getting the piece of the show ready, and I came across a video that was posted on Breitbart News, and you can find it there. And this is literally one of these videos that just about the time you think that humanity has all gone down the toilet, you watch an almost amazing rescue. If you haven't seen it, do check it out today. There's an elderly couple that has, and it looks like the woman has driven the car off the highway, and she's wedged it between the embankment and the guardrail, and the car is on fire. And suddenly, someone is filming this as they're driving up, and you're watching all of these people jump out of their cars, and this car is burning, and they're getting flashed flames around them, and they work together, and they are literally, that was weird. Background noise. I wonder what's going on. It must be something playing on my video. Hang on a second. Very strange. Anyway, they are literally... I know what it is. This is so weird. Oh my goodness, I'm going to have a mess today. The yard sprinklers just went off, and the dogs are now finding it fun to run and play in. Oh my gosh. The trials of puppies. They're completely soaked. And this is Mastiff fur. I was wondering what that sound was, and they're like, oh, there it is. And so their puppies are discovering, they look at it like, okay, what's this? This is water coming out of the ground. This isn't normal. Let's go explore. And so they are, and now there'll be mud and wet fur. Oh, goodness. Not coming in the house today. Yeah. Someone asked a double coat. Yeah, the Mastiffs have a double coat, but now they're playing catch with that's. All right, I'm totally distracted. Sorry, I'm thinking of consequences of a wet dog on wet grass all day long. Oh my goodness. Anyway, so you're going to get so much new entertainment here on this channel. I swear, with these puppies, it's a constant issue. You're just going to be like, oh no, here we go. What's going to happen? So I don't even know where I was. Oh, we were talking about the saving of humanity. So here they have these people literally coming together, and it's just. And the reason I bring this up is you want to talk about true. Love thy neighbor. They don't know who this woman is. And I watched this moment. I was in tears. I'm really serious. I was so moved because it was about six or seven, maybe eight strangers, just people randomly of different walks of life. Like one guy runs to his car and he gets a fire extinguisher. Another guy's trying to break the window. People are trying to rake the doors open. The car's on fire. The couple's inside. And they end up, somebody finally gets one of those, window breaking devices, which I'd highly recommend you carry one, breaks the window and they drag them both out. At least I think it's two. It's kind of hard to tell. It looks like it was two, but at least they saved whoever's in the car. And as they're pulling away, I mean, this car is on a complete inferno, including it's exploding underneath and flashing flames around people's ankles. That's so much of what love thy neighbor is. There's so much Jesus in that clip. Of who we are as the true sense of humanity. And it was just very encouraging. So check it out today. It's really one of those clips you're going to be like, it's just one of those things that just look at this and you're like, wow, just about the time that I thought everybody was dumb, which I was kind of laughing at because I just made the comment. I was talking to a friend on the phone and I just made the comment like, oh, we got too many dumb people. And as I'm talking, I get totally silent. And they're like, are you doing your show? And I'm like, no, I'm actually in tears. And they're like, oh, what's going on? And then I told them. But that's just the crazy of our world and how much, literally, we are good people overall. So it's really an encouraging thing. So check that out today. It's pretty awesome. All right, let's get back on with some other stuff. lots of things. I want you to hear this piece by RFK. It talks about Ukraine, and it really gets into the root of what we're dealing with. We were warned about the military-industrial complex. They are real. They are a threat, and they are a major problem in this world. Their business is war, which means their business is the death of your children at the end of the day. That is the most treacherous and wicked type of war. And remember, the military-industrial complex, whether it's Raytheon, Boeing, whether it's CACI, all of these companies are funded by U.S. government contracts. So it's a public contract, and they're traded privately. If you've got stock in these companies, I'm just going to tell you, you are assisting the war machine in the slaughtering of humanity. Take a listen to this.
It's a war that should have never happened. It's a war the Russians tried repeatedly to settle on terms that were very, very beneficial to Ukraine and us. The major thing they wanted was for us to keep NATO out of the Ukraine. The big military contractors want to add new countries to NATO all the time. Why? Because then that country has to conform its military purchases to NATO weapon specifications, which means certain companies, Northrop Grumman, Raytheon, General Dynamics, Boeing, and Lockheed, get a trapped market. In March of 2022, we committed $113 billion. Just to give you an example, we could have built a home for almost every homeless person in this country. We then committed another $24 billion since then, 2 months ago, and now President Biden's asking for another $60 billion. But the big, big expenses are going to come after the war, when we have to rebuild all the things that we destroyed. Mitch McConnell was asked, can we really afford to spend $113 billion to Ukraine? He said, don't worry. It's not really going to Ukraine.
It's going to American defense manufacturers.
So he just admitted it's a money laundering scheme. And who do you think owns every one of those companies? BlackRock. So Tim Scott, during the Republican debate, said, don't worry, it's not a gift to Ukraine, it's a loan. So raise your hand if you think that loan's ever getting paid back. Yeah, of course it's not. So why do they call it a loan? Because if they call it a loan, they can impose loan conditions. And what are the loan conditions that we impose on? Number one, an extreme austerity program, so that if you're poor in Ukraine, you're going to be poor forever. Number two, most important, Ukraine has to put all of its government-owned assets up for sale to multinational corporations, including all of its agricultural land, the biggest single asset in Europe, in Ukraine. There's been 1,000 years of war fought over that land. It's the richest farmland in the world. It's the breadbasket of Europe. 500,000 kids, almost, Ukrainian kids, have died to keep that land as part of Ukraine. They almost certainly didn't know about this loan condition. They've already sold 30% of it. The buyers were DuPont, Cargill, and Monsanto. Who do you think owns all of those companies? Yeah, BlackRock. And then in December, President Biden gave out the contract to rebuild Ukraine. And who do you think got that contract? BlackRock. So they're doing this right in front of us. They don't even care that we know anymore, because they know that they can get away with it. And how do they know that? Because they have a strategy. And that strategy is an old, old strategy, which is they keep us at war with each other. They keep us hating on each other. They keep the Republicans and Democrats fighting each other, and black against white, and all these divisions that they sow.
So dead on. So accurate in the assessment and what they're trying to do. And with the other part that RFK Jr. doesn't add, which I think is a critical component, and it's one that, unfortunately, I don't think it's going to be added, because it's for the type of research and things that he talks about, it's a different level of digging, I guess I would say. Ukraine has had the fullest number of orphanages in Europe. It also had the easiest adoption policy of any country in Europe, and that adoption policy didn't require that a Ukraine national would be required, or anybody with Ukraine ties would have to be required to adopt the children. The question that, when I did this research back in 2000, and or 19, it was No, I'm sorry, not 2000. It was back in 2019, 2020. The question that I was asking is, where are these children coming from? And unfortunately, we've now learned that many of them are coming from birthing clinics. They were set up specifically to create children. So, of course, what does that tell you? That's telling you that they're being provided by the elites. When you dug into many of the attorneys, the same attorneys that are going to be tied to the elites that circle around BlackRock, those same attorneys were also tied to the Clinton Foundation, and they were all the ones issuing the issues about adoption. So you can get a pretty good idea what the greatest commodity is in Ukraine, and it's not their land, which I think is no question it's part of it, but one of their greatest issues in Ukraine has been the trafficking and supply of children for these ritual elites, and probably worse, the satanic ritual abuse and sacrifice that they need to do so often to maintain their cult and their power. We are literally in a land of wickedness beyond any measure that we can comprehend. So, did everybody get me 5-5 on all that? Because I'm noticing they're just checking my monitors again today. Let's see. Yep, okay, thank you. All right, so anyway, moving on with this, we have an interesting development. Switzerland is now considering Bitcoin for the national reserves. Switzerland's exploring adding Bitcoin to its national reserves alongside traditional assets like gold and silver. And a referendum led by Yves Benaim proposes a constitutional amendment to bolster economic stability and modernize reserve assets. And then proponents see Bitcoin as a hedge against inflation. Critics are wary of its volatility. It's an interesting position and odd. In fact, it's they're putting it alongside of gold and silver. Essentially, what you're seeing with Bitcoin is they're trying to value it towards a tangible asset, and they continue to try to promote that idea that somehow digital currencies are going to be equivalent to the of solid assets. This is part of the great illusion, and unfortunately, and I've been very critical of those. Even there's some strong patriots out here that push for digital currencies, and I'm going to say it's naive at best. It's foolish, most likely, because when you have digital currencies, you don't have real money. But when you get into this cult of digital money, and you talk, remember that most digital currencies are still about investment. They're not about actual currencies. And even though some are being used, the actual issue of the currency is that what they try to do is it's a get-rich-quick scheme where they literally translate, and they'll tell you this, that their computers, they set up these computers to do these data minings, and as they break these blockchain algorithm codes, they unlock Bitcoin and they get this. So this is it's a point of putting in resource, which is energy of your computer, and the computer does all the work, breaks these algorithms, and then you get free money, essentially. The argument comes back always, and I guess I've had this argument too many times, we're working hard for this. And I'm like, where's the work? And it's like, we have to redefine work. I'm like, the computer's running energy. Well, energy's work. We need to reconsider what work and energy is in terms of how we develop wealth. This is nonsense. And all this is the biggest thing about digital currencies is it's a scam because it's not being used as a currency. Two, it is about gaining wealth in different areas. That's what mainly who has been driving these markets. And it's all part of the greater agenda to get people behind it so that they can take away hard currency. And therefore, they own the gold and silver. They will possess it. You will own none of it. So again, you'll own nothing. You'll rent everything. You'll be happy model. And in the process of all of this, then you're left with what's in your digital wallet. And your digital wallet is going to be so controlled that they're going to be able to dictate to you exactly when and where you will be able to spend things and how often. Here's another report from and about Geneva. It's worth listening to.
Geneva looks beautiful, is beautiful. It has a lake, it has a shadow. It's very peaceful, but there is a dark side to it. Everything evil in the world related to demo side, unfortunately, comes from Geneva. You have WHO in Geneva. You have Gavi, then you have the WEF the World Economic Forum, which my father was a co-founder, and left Klaus Schwab out of disgust in the early 80s, that has diplomatic immunity. I, as a Swiss citizen, right here now, declare that the WEF is not eligible anymore for diplomatic immunity. I call on the Swiss authorities and security to arrest those people immediately. Why? The WEF, WHO, Gavi, Big Pharma, Big Tech, Bill Gates, all advocated a global humanity injection by a bioweapon injecting nanolipids into 5.7 billion people. And we Swiss are hosting them? That's terrible. We cannot tolerate any entity that promotes poison to be injected into humanity. But you've done it. I'm the victim, I'm dying from it. And my mother too. It's a demo site, and you'll be judged. It will be corrected in the name of humanity.
Maybe there is a Geneva Swiss syndrome, but definitely there is a UN syndrome. Because people are so afraid of what's going on, because the United Nations is occupied, that people in there don't understand. Those who understand keep quiet or try to speak in different ways to help people to wake up. So if you understand that, you know that this was very easy to carve a world government. If you don't have a force that stops that and says, we the people is more important. And that's what we're doing now. We're trying to build a we the people movement that is very global, something completely different. But what is going on in Geneva is the opposite at the moment. There is no right to WHO to give any orders to dictate to the whole world like they have done. And the Global Alliance for Vaccine Immunization, Gavi, got total immunity from the Swiss government. You can find this, admin.lex in the Swiss database. Go and look. This is a coup d'etat, clearly. It's a global crime scene. And we are bringing little pieces of evidence to people with humility, because in science, you always have a doubt. It's a healthy doubt. And I think that is a very important attitude.
So the importance of that piece at the beginning was that's Pascal Najdari, excuse me, the son of the WEF co-founder Hussein Najdari. And he's calling for the arrest of Bill Gates and others. So it's obviously an awakening. There's no better place to place a government, a world government, than to place it in the place that is supposed to be neutral to all places. And then with the amount of protection that have been added and the number of companies that settle in, Switzerland becomes the house of where most of the gold, world's gold is housed. They have all the secret bank accounts that are so hard to access, private banking. It's also one of the hubs of the strong hubs of intelligence communities up there. Rumor is that it's where the largest CIA base is. It should come as no surprise. So we're dealing with truly one of the dark bowels of this world. And it is ultimately, as we look to where the center of power is, the center of gravity, Geneva, it would be the place, Geneva, Switzerland, which is, again, we go back to that previous article. Now they're trying to value Bitcoin, which should come as no surprise. Because as Bitcoin is the position Bitcoin, they're going to push Bitcoin onto the world, which will be the version of their next level of control. And then they will hoard all of the gold and silver there themselves. So this is, again, just part of this continued insanity, which we are struggling with and dealing with this group. We are obviously being invaded. Tucker continues to do some really good coverage on that. And it's some questions that we have to ask is who's behind all of this as we follow these rabbit trails. Obviously, part of this takes us always to Mossad, Israel, CIA. But again, I think we're going to begin to find that more and more roads lead to Geneva. Here's some information from Tucker.
So everyone who's paying any attention at all knows that more people are coming across the U.S. border from foreign countries illegally than any time in American history. How is it happening? Why is it happening? And who's allowing it to happen?
As soon as Biden was installed, I flew straight to El Paso because I thought that the aliens would start flooding across the border, and they did. We then flew over to Panama and went down into the Darien Gap. There's more than five dozen NGOs down there, IGOs and nonprofits. The main one is IOM. These NGOs are working hard to take over various countries. And the main funder, by the way, is the United States.
These are obviously criminal organizations. So why is no one doing anything about it?
Weaponized migration is often a precursor for something bigger.
That's the end of the United States, the country that you grew up in. Irreparable. Forever.
And they're pushing hard. That was Michael Yon, by the way, on Tucker, so that's pretty good. And I see that my dogs are wetter. It's as if they took a bath. Oh, my. And they seem very excited about wanting to come inside and say hello, which is not going to happen. Lots of questions on the horizon. Lots of things that we have to consider. The government is out of control. And the question is, what happens when we, the people, say enough is enough?
Can we take our government legally? Like, legally.
Unfortunately, it's going to be a revolution. I went down the rabbit hole, and I'm still trying to wrap my head around this. And I will tell you right now, you know how we always throw the word out, they, who's they, you know, they are controlling the world, they. Well, you can't say the word they on here, the actual what it is, otherwise you could get banned or prosecuted or something, you know what I mean? Because there's actually laws against it. It's crazy. Now, go to bitchute.com and type in The Architect Part 1 and then go watch Part 2. And it's going to explain to you what's going on in our country, let alone the world, okay? And this goes back to Jesus' time and even the Roman Empire and prior and before that. Like, it's sick. It's pure evil. And I'm telling you right now, when you go watch it, it's going to flip your world upside down. And it's going to make you feel like there's no hope. But I mean, I know you know who Mustache Man is, right? Your views are going to probably change a little bit on Mustache Man. That's how crazy this is. This goes so freaking deep. Prepare, you're going to be going down the rabbit hole for a while with this one.
So you got some homework. You can go to BitChute and type in The Architect Part 1. And you can check that out and see what you think. And we'll see what the results are. I can't tell you who Mustache Man is. I was looking in the mirror going, wait a minute, I've got a mustache. Is he talking about me? I don't think so. But anyway, that's some good research to do and see where that leads. Here, the thing is that, and this again, we're into these levels of awakening that truly are getting deeper. And the deeper we go, the darker it gets, the time frame in which these people have been operating gets longer and longer. And it is easy to get overwhelmed by that depth of the intricacies and the complexities of which they built over thousands of years, not just a single year. This is how Satan operates. This is the cult of ultimately that falls into the powers of the fallen that have been occupying this world for many, many years and generations. It is all run by bloodlines. It's passed along by family trees. There is an incredible series, which I will, when I get back, I will we'll set up to have it posted on our site. And it was done by George News when they used to be called the Anonymous Collective, and I was in communication with them. Incredible research that they did. It's a 17 or 19 part series, about an hour each. You're going to have to endure a digital voice, but they go into in-depth genealogies of the bloodlines, and you start to realize how these people maneuver, because one of the things they do is when they get exposed, they switch over to the matriarchal side. They're a matriarchal driven group. Which is not surprising because you see where the power structures sit, why men are switching to women in their world. That's when you gain power. It isn't just a sacrifice. It's part of their, within their circles, when the men step into being women, they're assuming the role of power in the family. And that's the bloodlines, and they carry the matriarchal line of names. So they'll run the patriarch name until it gets exposed, and then they switch to the matriarch line and they run it out. So it's very difficult to follow them. And this series that they did, the George News, which we now know as George News, which used to be called the Anonymous Collective. Great, great people. And I don't know who they are. I can just tell you they have been very highly placed. They were in and around Trump. Their research they did on those pieces took them, as I recall, they told me 5 or 7 years. And I have asked them before, and they gave me permission to post them whenever I wanted to. So I have those videos copied, all of them, and we will get those posted. It's really worth going through them. It's a lot of material, but it really gets you, and it's a digital voice, which they had to do to avoid censorship on YouTube, but it really, really is gives you an amazing amount of detail. So when you add that bit of research along with this, The Architect Part 1 and 2, I think we start to get a pretty good idea of the breadth and depth of this global organization. So I say to that because we get to this place when you start to get into a pit where literally we're asking ourselves, what can we do? Well, we should know. And I think it's very simple. Again, this complex organization that has happened over centuries and even millennium, the reason it's happened that way is because of who we are. We are the children of the Most High. We have amazing, amazing powers and capabilities through God. He works through us. We have the ability. We are supposed to be the princes and literally priests of the world. And to take that power away from us has had to be a very stealth, steady, and long-term plan to degrade humanity. If it was so easy to take over humanity, they would have done it a long time ago. So that should give everybody some encouragement. We are at a kind of an end game moment where they are pushing now for kind of their final thrust to try to seize massive control. But what has happened in the counter reaction of that is there are good elites that have come in and around this. I won't necessarily call them followers of Christ, but they are good elites. And they've facilitated some release of information. There's good people in the world, as we're reminded of this video this morning, of people literally sacrificing their lives for one another. That's who we are as people. These elites are almost, I'm not suggesting an alien theory piece, but I do think it's important to understand that when you live in a world where you find joy in the sacrifice of children, pleasure in literally being a pedivore and a pedophile, when you find that sort of pleasure in the suffering of people, you are no longer human. And so what I'm going to say next, which is it's as we are dealing with an alien species, they, by definition, they are alien to what humankind is. Humankind is not like that. And there is no room for them on this earth. And I'm just going to be blunt. I mean, there are certain things I realize we struggle a lot with forgiveness. But forgiveness to another brother in Christ is one. These people are pure evil. And we don't negotiate with evil, and they literally need to be eradicated. So in that principle, we get back to what do we do, what tools do we have, and what do we have the ability to deal with? And it's constantly the same thing. We see the miracles of the living God when we deal with healing. We have to have that same confidence and use that same authority when we deal with slaying evil. That means taking down principalities. That means coming together in prayer. That means literally speaking like Elijah and the mantle of Elijah or Elisha, where we're literally speaking into their destruction. And we have to hold them accountable on this earth, just like the 400 prophets of Baal. They were ultimately gathered by the people and slain. That is the sort of approach that has to happen because there is no room. If we took all of these people and the elites and we put them in a city called Jericho, God would have every man, woman, child, and donkey slain. And we understand why when we look at that story out of context and you go, wow, why would God be so wrathful to another group? That other group is equivalent in a small microcosm to the group that's running the world right now. These people just don't live in one city, though it looks like Geneva seems to be a stronghold for them. They don't live in one city. They live in a distributed way across the globe now in trying to prevent themselves from being consolidated and annihilated like they were in Jericho. This is a biblical war. And everything that we look at biblically, Old Testament, New Testament, we're seeing the same people, the same bloodlines, I should say, over and over. These same bloodlines are the ones that have facilitated this hell on earth for a long time, and they're only ramping it up because their hatred for God is beyond measure. This gets to the fallen. This gets to the Book of Enoch. This is these same evil people, the evil beings, fallen, rejected by God. They're really, it's quite interesting because it's a suffering that they carry of being rejected by heaven that in the end, they are hateful for God for not listening to them and letting them back in. So they take their hatred out on his children. And we are here in this fight, literally, many times under-equipped. We are not awake. We have been separated from our origins and our history. It's difficult for us to realize who we are. But as we step into those glorious authorities which Christ gave us, and again, I've said this many times, if you did nothing more than follow red letter language and lived into red letter language in the Bible, the place that we would be in this world would be far different than where we are right now. So we have the authorities to overcome this. And I say all this because in preparation for what I will suspect people will take very seriously to go into some of these researches, whether that research is this the architect that was just recommended on that piece on BitChute Part 1 and 2, or whether it's going into, when we get these posted, some of these bloodline videos, it's a place that can take you into a feeling of disempowerment and feeling like there's no way out, that you're trapped. That is not true, ever. We have the authorities to overcome, and it's through God that all things are possible. Never to forget them. I just say that as a reminder, because everyone gets caught in it at one point or another. And in addition to that, there is the principles that we have to keep in mind, which to me, these are fundamentals now to deliverance and staying strong as a warrior. These were given in prayer. I share them here, and I share them repeatedly. Doubt, shame, and fear. We have to be able to rebuke doubt and understand that when we have doubt in things in our world, it's us being infected by this sort of demonic element that's around us. We're doubting, when we doubt something in the world, we're doubting God. We're doubting the power of our Father. And it's easy to get caught in that trap. It's not a rebuke in any sense. It's part of the challenges we face as walking in the flesh and humans. When we talk about shame, one of the things that is so important for this leadership, this ruling elite to do, is to invoke shame upon people. Because as they bring shame bears with us this guilt, which allows us to be complicit and comply with their authorities. We feel that we don't have an ability to speak out. Here's, you know, the one I brought up, I've been hitting on again recently fairly hard, which is pornography. Men, and I am convinced that the large reason that men aren't standing up in this nation is so many men are addicted to pornography. And especially when we get into school board issues, men are apprehensive to speak into that because they themselves have been, as fathers, have been complicit in bringing pornography, the spirit of pornography, in their home. This is where Jesus, the acceptance of Christ, is so important, because we have to release ourselves from those sins. Repent. And it's a funny, it's a burden that the shame even prevents us from wanting to accept Christ, because it's like, well, then I have to bear my soul and I'm so embarrassed by it. Jesus died on the cross to release us from that. So again, it's the encouragement of men to be a warrior now. Step and be bold. Be truthful with your heart. Open up and release that shame. But that goes as well with women and any trauma that we have in our life. You know, whether you've been molested as a child, whether you were humiliated, whatever those reasons are, and there's many, the shame which we carry on our life burdens us in adulthood. And that's where deliverance comes in, to release us from that and to get us back to that root of what Christ did on the cross. And then there's fear. Fear is one of the worst of evils and sins that we embrace in our life, because fear is like a virus and it grows on its own force. Once it gets into us, fear consumes us. It corrupts the word of God. It corrupts the voice that we hear, because it gets overlaid with our own psychosis, and we start to think that we're hearing something when in fact it's not, or we're doing something when in fact it's misdirected, because what we're doing is we're hiding or shielding ourselves from the fear that's within us, rather than embracing the fear, looking at it in the eyes, and then conquering the fears. It's one of the, you know, simplest things. And I know we have people that ride horses here, and it's that saying is, when you fall off the horse, get back on it. There is a reason that philosophy is so strong, because when you fall off, consider falling off being that moment of falling before the throne. The getting back on the horse, consider that the repentance moment. When we do that, we get back into the fight, and you do it quickly. You don't waste time, because if you delay, then fear settles in and you won't go back at it quickly. You literally need to get right back on it. So if you're whether it's in sports and you know, something happens in sports and you're like, oh, I can't go back onto the field, and that coach says, get back out there. he's doing the right thing because he's forcing you through that moment of fear to overcome and become stronger. That's the power of repentance. So as we start to place these things in there, in the context of who we have so much authority in this world. Our world is seemingly falling apart, which, yes, it is, because the powers to be are moving quickly to try to take away from us that which we have gained, which is our awakening and our spiritual awakening in this world. They are fearful of this. So they are working at high speed. The problem is, for them, the faster that they move, the more revealing it becomes in our world, and we see them more clearly. The question is, do we have the fearlessness to step in with the authorities given to us by Jesus to say, we are drawing the red line. That's it, no more. And I say that that's where we have to walk, especially as a remnant, keeping in mind that the remnant can lead a world back to salvation. Patriots, let's pray. Father God, we just come to you today just very humbled and blessed. And we're just stepping in today with a prayer of a blessing of the true authorities given to us by Jesus, and reinforcing that prayer of Solomon to ask for the wisdom and discernment that you can only give. That as we walk in this world, to truly see clearly with those eyes that you can provide and we can see, and to be able to walk through this time and place where we will be able to discern evil from good, to literally separate the sin from the sinner, and to be able to walk with the authorities as Jesus gave us, to step on snakes and scorpions and to have authority over all and dominion over all evil. Father, in a time like this, when so much of the world is being revealed, whether it's our histories, the depth and breadth of this evil that controls the world, we just pray into a fearless heart, a heart now that will stand in the face of evil, not hesitate, not bow, not bend in any way, but to lean in courageously and to say enough is enough, that in the name of Jesus, in the name of our Father, I am a son and daughter of the Most High, and I declare over this evil total authority and dominion. So Father, we pray that prayer here today as we step in the gap and stand literally in the face of this evil. We pray complete dominion over this evil. We rebuke this evil that has now tried to seize the minds and hearts of people. We rebuke it and we bind it and we cast it to the feet of Jesus. And we embrace, Father, truly that you are the maker of all things. There is no doubt in our heart. There is no shame that we hold other than what we have brought to the throne to seek repentance and to embrace the glory of what Christ gave us on the cross. And there is no fear that we will face that we cannot overcome. So, Father, we pray for that strength, that warrior heart of Jesus within each and every one, that as we come together, as we unite together, as we pray together, that we truly embrace one of the greatest authorities and greatest powers ever given, that we have that authority through prayer to conquer evil in totality. May we relentlessly pursue it. May we relentlessly destroy it. May we relentlessly cast it out forever and ever. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Got to keep fighting. And that's just it. And this is what they fear the most is the assembly of people. You know, just as kind of a quick reflection on the eclipse event, which was fantastic. I just want to remind everybody of all the nonsense that was being talked about and how many people were buying into it leading up to the eclipse. So many people stating, you know, there's going to be a big disaster on the eclipse event. It was everything from an EMP was going to be released. There was going to be a nuclear war. One of the theories was that they were going to launch, and this was actually written, they were going to launch planes that were going to do chemtrails, but instead of chemtrails, they were going to spray a biological agent across the path of the eclipse, and everybody that was exposed, who was in the eclipse, was going to be exposed to a biological agent that would have a time release that everyone in there would ultimately die within 4 to 6 months, and it would cause or 4 to 6 weeks, and then it would cause a new world pandemic. We were going to have earthquakes. There was going to be tsunamis. This is just constantly nonsense. And as I have said, and I truly say, when the mainstream media and others get behind a narrative that is saying that we need to not do something, you need to do it and do it twice as much. Because there, whatever is in that, whatever they fear, is they fear us ultimately and what it means to us. And just kind of a rebuke to anybody out there that was spreading that fear. And I'm very serious about this. Fear is the greatest weapon the enemy has. So when you start to be compelled to to talk about fearful things. Take a step back and pray. Truly pray. Put yourself at the center of God. Put Jesus deep within your heart and let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Because I'm telling you, fear is one of those most evil and most cancerous elements out there. It's deadly. And even if you are one who walks well within the word or within the prophetic, and I respect that if you do, if you have fear in your heart, it will change the words that you hear. Because the corruption will not be the voice of God. It will be the voice of your fearful heart intermixed with God. It's one of the, to me, those are some of the worst words to receive from people when they have fear in their heart or shame in their heart or doubt in their heart. Because I've had this literally happen within the last 6 months of having some people speak words to me and try to speak them into me. And I know their heart was corrupted. So you hear a word of God that is powerful, but it's mixed in with their own mess. It's whether it's fear, doubt, or shame, it's messed in there. And so the word that you get is their reflection, not God's word. So we have to be very clear here and very honest about where we are in this world. And part of that is us going literally before the throne, seeking God's face, looking ourselves in the mirror and saying, where am I? Who am I? What am I afraid of? What do I doubt? And what am I shameful of? Take those things to the throne. That's deep repentance. Work through them. Set yourself free. We all have something, and little things will crop up over time, but we've got to unleash ourselves because this is a fight. It's real. And this enemy's real. And this enemy is going to exploit everything it can. But as we come together collectively in the body of Christ to raise this up and speak mightily within the word of God, we will overcome all things through him. Patriots, I'm going to be here another night in Pendleton today. I've got a radio interview here a little bit later this morning. And we'll do a show tonight. We'll just talk a little bit about Passover amongst other things. So I'll tell you what, have a great day. So keep your head up and your eyes forward, never bow to evil, never relent, always press into the fight. God is with us, he'll never forsake us, and in the end, God always wins. But we are here in this time, in this place, for just such a time as this. We are at war, so walk boldly and fearlessly with Christ. Occupy the land, expand the kingdom, subdue the enemy, mission forward. Patriots, I'll see you this evening for Bards FM. Until then or until the next time, God bless, and out for now.
We shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival and the success of liberty.
Every thoughtful citizen who despairs of war and wishes to bring peace should begin by looking inward, by examining his own attitude towards the possibilities of peace. Too many of us think it is impossible. Too many think it is unreal. But that is a dangerous, defeatist belief. It leads to the conclusion that war is inevitable, that mankind is doomed, that we are gripped by forces we cannot control. We need not accept that view. Our problems are man-made, therefore they can be solved by man, and man can be as big as he wants. No problem of human destiny is beyond human beings. Man's reason and spirit have often solved the seemingly unsolvable, and we believe they can do it again. Surely the opening vistas of space promise high costs and hardships, as well as high reward. So it is not surprising that some would have us stay where we are a little longer, to rest, to wait. But this city of Houston, this state of Texas, this country of the United States was not built by those who waited and rested and wished to look behind them. This country was conquered by those who moved forward. And so will space. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept.
The energy, the faith, the devotion, which we bring to this endeavor, will light our country and all who serve it. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Has waited thousands of years to show its face. It has only one intent, to destroy God's light and to enslave. It has no scruples. It has no rules but one, to win at any cost. But we will never bow, for we are the remnant that will hold the line. This is war. We fight. Push. We climb. We never give in. We become the nightmare that evil didn't know could exist. We pray. We stand. We live by the words, "In God we trust." We fear nothing. We are the light that can never be extinguished. We are patriots. We are the digital army that will help deliver God's wrath.